In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Hosanna in the highest. Next year in Jerusalem. Next year in Jerusalem. This phrase has been uttered by the Jewish peoples for thousands of years, beginning around the time of the Babylonian exile and enduring even to this day. Next year in Jerusalem. All Jews have the desire and indeed the obligation to observe at least one Passover in the holy city of Jerusalem. And for the last several weeks in the Gospels that we've been reading during our liturgies, they had shown us that our Lord was journeying from Capernaum in Galilee, which is in northern Judea, on a southerly path to Jerusalem in order to do just that, to observe the Passover with his disciples. It was a pilgrimage to the holy city. And on the way, it took several weeks, on the way he taught his disciples, and other pilgrims began to join them along the way as they got closer to Jerusalem. And they heard his teachings as well. And more joined them to where the point is when they got to Jerusalem. St. John, the theologian in today's Gospel, calls it a great multitude had assembled. On the way, Jesus had performed several miracles. And we read about them in the Gospels over the last several weeks. He had cast the demon out of the deaf and dumb demoniac. Then, when they passed through Jericho, he healed the blind man who had shouted to him, "Have mercy on me, O Son of David, have mercy on me." This messianic reference to Christ as being of the royal lineage of King David was certainly not missed by these Jews who were on pilgrimage to the holy city of Jerusalem. Then he raised Lazarus from the dead in Bethany, which we celebrated yesterday. After he had been dead and in the tomb for 4 days, and the pilgrims then began to get excited. Could this be the Messiah that we have been looking for from time immemorial? And then as they near Jerusalem, they begin to rejoice. They see the holy city far off in the distance. They see that skyline that we're so used to seeing today on television. They see it in the distance and they begin to sing the Psalms of Ascent. The Psalms of Ascent. We know the Psalms of Ascent as the 18th Kathisma of the Psalter. Psalms 120 to 134. Those are the psalms that we sing antiphonally during the pre-sanctified liturgy. You know it. In my distress I cry to the Lord that he may answer me. Those are the psalms of ascent. And as they get closer and closer to Jerusalem, pilgrims from time immemorial, even today, those pilgrims who go to Jerusalem, as they start entering the city, they sing these psalms of ascent. You see, Israel, most of Israel anyway, is either at sea level or below sea level. But Jerusalem, as the prophet Isaiah tells us, is a city set on a hill. So to get to Jerusalem, you have to ascend both literally and spiritually in your heart. You have to ascend because you are entering into the holy city. So these pilgrims, with the Lord Jesus Christ and his disciples today, start singing these psalms, and I'm sure you're going to recognize these. "I rejoice when he said to me, let us go to the house of the Lord. Our feet were standing within your gates, O Jerusalem." Jerusalem is a city. It's built, bound firmly together, to which the tribes go up. The tribes of David to give thanks and praise to the name of the Lord. "Peace be within your walls and security within your towers. Peace be upon Israel." They're singing these psalms of ascent because Jerusalem was a special place. Just what was it that was so special about Jerusalem? Two things. First of all, it was the royal city. It reminded the Jews of a better time when David was king, when Solomon was king, when they actually had a king present and they weren't under Roman domination. That's the first thing, was the royal city. But most importantly, Jerusalem was the home of the temple, the house of God here on earth. Again, from the Psalms of Ascent. "I will not give sleep," David says. "I will not give sleep to mine eyes, nor slumber to mine eyelids until I find a resting place for the Lord. And I build a house for my Lord. Because of the house of the Lord thy God, I will seek your good. For the Jews, God was physically present in the temple, and his glory filled the temple and the Holy of Holies. Now when Christ sent his disciples ahead of him to get an ass and a colt, the foal of an ass, in which to enter in Jerusalem on, no observant Jew could have failed to see the significance of this. As we said in one of the Lord I Call verses last night at Vespers, the Savior has come to Jerusalem in order to fulfill the Scriptures. What Scriptures? We read them last night in the three Old Testament readings from Genesis, from Zephaniah, and then from Zechariah. From Zephaniah we heard, "Shout, O Israel, and be glad. Rejoice, your King is coming." And then from the prophet Zechariah we heard, "Rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion. Shout for joy, O daughter of Jerusalem. Behold, your King is coming, poor and bringing salvation. He is just and a Savior, riding on an ass and a colt, the foal of an ass. The Lord God will save him in that day," says the prophet Zechariah. Both the blessed Augustine and his mentor and teacher, and the man who converted him, St. Ambrose, both say that in the ass that the Lord brought with him, it was signifying the Jewish people who were stubborn in their unbelief and stubborn and hard-hearted in their rebellion. And by the colt, the foal of an ass, it signifies, says St. Ambrose and Blessed Augustine, the wild, untamed, young Gentiles who will become tamed by the gospel of Jesus Christ. And you see that he's riding on the colt, which is untamed, which no other man had ever sat on. He's riding on that. He has tamed that colt. And he's pulling the ass alongside him, as he had to pull the hard-hearted Jews, says St. Ambrose. So the pilgrims are singing these psalms of ascent. And seeing Christ on an ass, for the colt, the foal of an ass, they begin to brim with excitement. Could this be the Christ, the Messiah, who will break the Roman domination over our people? They had heard his teachings for several weeks now. They had seen his miraculous power over sickness, over demons. And now with Lazarus, they had seen his power over death itself. Could this be the Messiah? And then they did something very strange. They stopped singing the Psalms of Ascent, which all pilgrims say going up to Jerusalem, and they started to sing another psalm, Psalm 117 in the Greek version, Septuagint, and Psalm 118 in the King James. "Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord, the King of Israel." That was a psalm from another time altogether. That was a psalm that they used to sing on the Feast of Tabernacles. Now, the Feast of Tabernacles is an autumn feast. It was one of the three major feasts instituted in Leviticus. First being Yom Kippur, the Day of Atonement, Passover, and this Feast of Tabernacles. It was an autumn feast, September and October. And it was a feast that by the time of the prophet Zephaniah, about 300 or 400 years before Christ, had ceased to be an autumn feast, a harvest feast, and it had become symbolized and associated with victory of Israel over the Gentiles. The Feast of Tabernacles was also called the Feast of Booths. And on this feast, for 7 days, the Jewish people out in their front yards would build tabernacles, and they would stay in those tabernacles for 7 days. Sometimes they would sleep in it, but at the very least they would have all their meals in there to remind them of the 40 years that they were wandering in the desert and the presence of God over them in the cloud with the Ark of the Covenant. So they would build these booths out of palm branches. They would build them out of palm branches, and they would process around them with the palm branches, singing, "Blessed is he that comes in the name of the Lord." I lived for a couple of years in a suburb of Boston called Brookline, which is one of the most heavily Jewish neighborhoods in Massachusetts. And I remember riding in the car one day in late September and passing by houses, and every house had what looked like a teepee in front of it. And some of them had what looked like coffins. And I said to the person that was driving the car, I said, boy, they celebrate Halloween very early here. He said, no, these are the Hasidic Jews, and they're celebrating the Feast of Tabernacles, the Feast of Booths, so they still do it today. They would build those houses, those booths out of palms and leave it out there for 7 days. So, when the pilgrims today stop singing the Psalms of Ascent and begin singing a psalm from the Psalm of Booths, the pilgrims were caught up in a messianic feeling, in a messianic emotion, and they began to say to Christ, Hosanna, save us, oh God. It was a joyous, it was a shout of joy. It was what Hosanna is what it says in Hebrew. Hosanna, a shout of joy. Blessed is he that comes in the name of the Lord. Then the children, the gospel tells us, start to take off their cloaks and lay them before Christ as he's riding on that colt into Jerusalem. And then they would throw their palm branches. They started tearing branches off the trees and throwing it like a red carpet for the Lord as he triumphantly enters the holy city. And the scribes and the Pharisees see this and they immediately start objecting. They immediately tell Christ, stop these people. They're blaspheming. They're singing this wrong psalm at the wrong time of the year. Stop them. And what does the Lord say to them? Out of the mouths of babes and infants come perfect praise. And as the gospel says, the scribes and the Pharisees began to say, behold, the whole world is following him, and they began to plot to kill him. St. Epiphanius of Salamis says, O admirable feast, the children acclaim Christ as God, but the priests curse him. Children worship him, but the doctors of the law despise him. Children shout Hosanna, and his enemies shout Crucify. The former surround him with palms, the latter surround him with a sword. The former cut down branches to place before him, while the latter prepare a cross. Blessed is he that comes in the name of the Lord, the people shout, with all types of emotion. But as Father Alexander said last night, alas, emotions do not last. Emotions change from moment to moment. How else could the crowds go from shouting Hosanna on Sunday to shouting Crucify Him on Friday? St. Ambrose of Milan points out, though, that the very Psalm 117:118 that says, Blessed is he that comes in the name of the Lord, also says, the stone which the builders rejected has become the cornerstone. It predicted all of that. The Jews were looking for a military Messiah who would free them from the Roman Empire. They were looking for a Messiah who could destroy the Romans. But when Christ enters Jerusalem, he completely ignores the Romans. He goes straight to the temple and he cleanses it. He causes a havoc. He overturns the money changers' tables. He cleanses the temple and then he declares that the temple of God, the very house of his Father, is now empty. And after giving the discourse, which we're going to read tomorrow night at the bridegroom matins, which is called the Woe Discourse, Woe to you scribes, Pharisees, hypocrites. After he gives that discourse, he says this, O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, killing the prophets and stoning those who sent you, how I long to take your children and gather them as a hen would gather her brood under her wings, but you would not let me. Behold now, your house is forsaken and desolate. And by the house, he meant the temple of his Father. God has withdrawn from the temple, and Christ is proclaiming the same thing that the prophet Ezekiel prophesied when he said, the glory of the Lord has gone out of the threshold of his house. Christ declares this temple empty, and then he declares that he himself is the living temple. His body is now the dwelling place of God with man here on earth. And it will be destroyed, he says, on the cross, but it will be rebuilt in 3 days and will last forever. Now the Jews who had been shouting Hosanna were quite disappointed. Scribes and the Pharisees were furious. It was one or the other, disappointment or fury. The Jews who had followed him in so with such emotion, they realized he was not the kind of Messiah that they wanted. They wanted freedom from Rome. He wanted the freedom from sin and death. That is why they were able to go from Hosanna on Sunday to crucify him on Friday. They spread their garments before him on Sunday. On Friday, they stripped his garments off of him and scourged him. They placed branches of palm before his path on Sunday. On Friday, they placed branches of thorns around his head. They pour blessings and benedictions upon him on Sunday, and then they hurl curses and blasphemies on him on Friday. But lest we be too hard on these Jews, we must remember, if we are honest with ourselves, that we often do the same thing. We sing Hosanna in the highest every Sunday during the Divine Liturgy. And then we leave the church and crucify Christ again by the way we treat our neighbor, by the way we treat one another, and by the way we treat the least of our brethren. We often receive with joy at Christ in communion and then commit murder with our own tongues, often by not long after we have left the parking lot and the first car pulled in front of us. We commit murder with our tongues. The fathers of the church teach us that we have to receive Christ into our whole lives, into our own personal Jerusalem, and keep him there and not reject him as out of the walls of our heart, like the Jews rejected him and crucified him out of the walls of the city. St. Andrew of Crete says, "So it is ourselves that we must spread before Christ's feet, not coats or branches or lifeless shoots of trees, which waste away and delight the eyes only for a few hours. But we must clothe ourselves with Christ's grace, or with the whole of Christ. So let us spread our whole selves like coats under his feet, and not offer him just palm branches, but offer him ourselves as a prize of victory to the conqueror of death." One of the Megalenarians says, "Let us set the Savior within our hearts on the comely garments of obedience, faith, and love. Thus we hope to enter with Christ's divine apostles into the wondrous exaltation, God's new and heavenly Jerusalem." Let us today join the pilgrims, singing not the psalms of ascent that all pilgrims sing into the earthly Jerusalem, but rather the song from the Feast of the Tabernacles as we ascend into the mystical Jerusalem when we receive Holy Communion. Today, let us too give voice with the children as we wave the branches of our soul along with the branches of these palms today. Blessed is he that comes in the name of the Lord, the King of Israel. Hosanna in the highest.
Blessed is he that comes in the name of the Lord.
In the name of the Father, and the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.